Amen. Philippians chapter 4. I've been preaching a series on personal issues like stress, anxiety, anger, all kinds of things. And good to see y'all tonight. What a blessing. Philippians chapter 4. Amen. All right. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 10, if you will. Philippians 4:10. We'll read through verse 14. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi there, he was thanking them for their helping him. You know, he needed help. He was an evangelist. He had no job. He had no income. And he said, therefore, a while, he said, I didn't get much help out of you. But then all of a sudden, it flourished. It flourished. And he said, but I'm not speaking that I need anything. He said, I'm not saying I need anything. He said, I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Unless it's Michigan, Florida, Minnesota, New York, no. But he was saying, I've learned to be content. He said, because I know how to be abound and how to be abased. I know how to be full. I know how to be empty. He said, I'm instructed to be both full and empty at the same time. In other words, be satisfied with what you have. Then he says, I can do all things which through Christ who strengthens me. I think we take that scripture out of context a lot. I really don't think he's talking about building a house or driving a car or passing a test at school. I think he's talking about how to be satisfied with what you have. Contentment. There's very few people that are content. They're not contented. You couldn't please them with all the money in the world. You couldn't please them with everything they ever asked for. They'd always want more. But you know, it's what everybody wants. It's what everybody needs. We need contentment, every one of us. We need to be content with what we have. We need to learn how to do that. Now, one of the Psalms, I think it was, he prayed and he said, don't make me rich, but don't make me poor. We need to be right there in the middle. He said, because riches will deceive you and turn you in a different direction. And he said, being poor might force me to steal, to eat. So he said, just leave me in the middle. Most of America is right there in the middle. We have poor people and we have rich people, but most of the people in America, and I don't care what they told you on the evening news, most of the people are in the middle. We're middle people. That's who really votes presidents in. That's who votes politicians in. That's who obey the laws and make the laws and enforce the laws. It's the middle people. That's the ones who get up and go to work every day and come home and they pay their bills and they're honest and they wouldn't hurt you if your life depended on it. It's the middle people. And that's what America's made up of mostly is middle people. And I think as middle people myself, I think we've learned how to be content with what we have. Because we've been poor. I think most everybody in this room has probably been poor. Now, poor is a relative term. In Michigan, poor might mean one thing, and in South Carolina, it means something else. But whatever it meant to you, your situation, you saw you were poor. And boy, we've ruined our children, we've ruined our grandchildren, They don't have any contentment because they never wanted for anything. And if you don't ever want for anything, then therefore you're never happy with what you have. You always want more. It wouldn't do our children, grandchildren bad to miss a meal every once in a while or not get Christmas. I remember people used to call me up till they found out, figured out who I was. And they'd say, does your church do Christmas? And finally I got tired of saying that. I told this one lady, I said, no ma'am, Christmas was done over 2,000 years ago. If you mean toys, no, we're not getting you no toys. Your children probably better off without toys and get them to Christ. Bring them over here. If they're hungry, we'll feed them. If they're naked, we'll clothe them. And we'll give them the gospel. That's what they need. See? But people are not content. They don't have contentment. Everybody wants it. Movie stars want it. Rock stars, country stars, rap stars, rich people, millionaires, billionaires want contentment. They look for it in all kinds of ways. That's why we have the opioid epidemic. That's why we have alcoholism. It's because people, they think they're looking for something that they need when they probably already got it and they're just not happy with what they have. And Paul said, I've learned therewith to be content, he said in verse 10. He said, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. He said, I know how to be put way down, and I know how to be way up here at the same time. I know how to do that. He said, so because of that, because I have been there either direction, he said, I found this out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be poor or I can be rich. I can be hungry or I can be full. I can be happy or I can be unhappy and still be content. I want you to know, you don't have to search for it in the world. It's in the Word where you find contentment. The world will never satisfy us. It's that carrot on the stick. You know, it's that carrot on the stick. It's always right there, just right there. You know, you're always running after it, but it's right. It's always right there. The world stuff, that is. You'll never get it. The world will never make you happy. And then, by the way, if you get it, you probably won't enjoy it. You ever notice people think they want things till they get it, and then they find out they really didn't want it in the first place? That's real true in marriages and divorces and remarriages and divorces and remarriages and divorces. That's real true in jobs. That's real true in property and houses and land and things like that. It's real true in entertainment. It's real true in entertainment. You'll never quite be satisfied. It almost. Verse 12, I want you to look at verse 12 again. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Your current circumstances will never make your flesh happy. Never. That thing there is never satisfied. It's like a leech. The more it gets, the more it wants. But you can be satisfied right where you are. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm trying to give a life lesson, I guess you'd call it. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I wish all the young people were here. I wish all the teenagers was here. Y'all don't know how bad it is to keep kids out of church for a couple hours a week. They need this. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5 says, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That's that guy on TV that tells you, you're not in God's will unless you got a new car, a new jet, a Rolls Royce, a diamond ring. Supposing that gain is godliness. He said, get away from those people. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. To be live godly and be happy with your life, that's the winner right there. Amen. Now, Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I know I joke around a lot, and I'm bad about saying this to when there's teenage girls in here. You know, I say, you know what, that boy that you think is so handsome and you love him and you want to marry him, he came into the world naked, bald, toothless, and wrinkled. And he's leaving the same way. It's a process. You, hey, if you're looking for the flesh for sight, what you she's got her nose turned up there. I'm talking about that boy you said was cute today at school. He'll be just as wrinkled and bald and toothless as the rest of us when he leaves this world. Amen? And naked, he'll never take anything with him. At least he won't need a belt to hold up those breeches he won't pull up. Amen. I mean, what do we say? We can be satisfied right where we are. He said, godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, some of the best Christians I ever met were poor people.
Yes.
But they were happy. They were content with what they had because they knew all good things come from the Father above. And they were happy with what God had given them. And if he gave them more or less, they'd still be happy because they were content in the Christ. They were content in Him, not things or people or, you know, property and things like that. They were satisfied right where they were. Now, when I was younger, I couldn't understand that. I thought, well, why don't they work harder, make more money, and buy more stuff? Ain't that the way we think? Why don't they work harder and make more money and buy more stuff? You know, that's what everybody thinks. But it turns out that those that were not rich, they were poor. But they were happy in Christ. Now, you can do that right now. It's not pie in the sky. It's not I have to wait till I get to heaven to be content. I can be content right now in all things, see? Right now. I can be happy with what I have. I don't have to have your stuff. Therefore, I don't covet your stuff. And I'm not going to steal it. And I'm not going to lie to you to get it. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Our country is eat up with materialism, and whatever it takes, they'll get it.
Right.
If it's government to give it to them, they'll let the government give it to them. By the way, that's a sorry way to live. I'd be ashamed. But if they can take it away from you, they'll take it away from you. I'm sure all of you saw in the news, read in the paper the other day, these two guys tried to break in this old lady's house. She was going to church, coming home from church or something, and she shot them graveyard dead.
Amen.
Shot them. I said, amen. They come to steal that old woman's stuff. I'm glad she'd been to pistol training.
Amen,
Rachel. Y'all better not mess with Rachel. I'll just go ahead and tell you that right now. She's packing. Yeah, watch out. My daughter is too. You don't mean, you better watch out. That's a hair trigger on that one. Amen. Some of these fellas in here, some preacher asked me one time, said, have you ever coordinated your men to find out who has a carry permit and who's going to be in charge if somebody comes busting in with a machine gun? I said, if there's a man busting in the front door of our church with a machine gun, he ain't got a chance. I said, I done told my people, if anybody bust in with a gun, all of you lay down because there's several going to start shooting. Just lay down. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to run. You ain't got to do nothing. Just lay down. A couple of ex-Marines. Amen. So, but you know, that old lady, she was content with what she had, but they wanted it. They weren't content. And so you can be, right now, whatever your current circumstance is, you can have contentment right now, however it is. You say, preacher, I'm missing a leg. Well, thank God let you keep one leg. Get you one of those mechanicals to go with it. Amen. People talk about poor Rudy. He's got one eye. He can't even hardly see out of that other eye. He keeps right on working. He works around here. Sister Pat writes all the cards and the letters that go out here. She's legally blind. She has to hold stuff up. They're thankful for what they've got. Amen. Amen. There's people running around here got sick. When you're content, you don't complain. There's a lot of times I hate to have testimony and prayer request. I really do, because some people, they're going to go on and on and on and on about their circumstances, their situation, which what they'll do, they'll just say, I just want to thank God I'm here.
Amen?
Yes. A lot of them didn't make it. Like that old fellow in line up there in Hammond, Indiana. He was behind me, and that old rich preacher come through with five or six men pushing people out of the way. And he, excuse me, he's going to get his men up there, you know. And I'm standing there with two or three of my guys, and that old preacher behind me. I said, what do you think about that? He said, I'm just happy to be in line. He was content. I mean, whatever your circumstance, you say, I don't see how you can do that. You don't know where I'm living or what I'm going through. Yeah, I do. I've learned that whatsoever state I'm in, I've been there. Most of us has been there. You just think nobody's ever done that before, and a lot of people's done it before and kept right on going. Now, did you know, according to verse 12, living in need does not cancel contentment? Just because you need something does not cancel contentment. What I'm saying is, just because you have a need, that does not mean that you don't have to be thankful for the things you don't need. Growing up, we had several black and white TVs. We lived on the end of the power line where everybody dumped their dogs. We had about six or eight old hound dogs, and we didn't hardly have enough to eat ourselves. You count the ribs, the poor little old thing. Somebody dumped them out thinking we were going to feed them. We didn't have nothing to feed those dogs. I don't know what they ate. And lived on the end of the power line. Every time the lightning come, it'd knock out a TV or something. We bought about three TVs till we learned what was causing that and unplugged it. My mama would make us get up on the couch and put our feet up on the couch, and we couldn't talk. We had to be quiet while it was lightning. Draws lightning. Yeah, you get over that screen. Get away from that screen. That draws lightning. Don't you rub that cat. That draws lightning. And I seen a ball of lightning bounce across the fence outside the house one day. But we lived on the end of the power line. It didn't matter that much. You couldn't pick up but 2.5 channels where we lived anyway. And now people gripe and complain because they don't have a giant screen, Magnavox, color, whatever television that gets 300 channels. But you know, you can be content for what you already have.
Yes.
Not what you don't have. Quit looking at what you don't have. Look what you've got.
Yes.
And we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings and Name Them One by One. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done.
Yes.
Sometimes I've heard men that their wives left them or they've never been married. They say, "Lord, Brother Ron, pray for me that the Lord will give me a wife." I said, "I don't know if I would pray that or not. You might be better off without a wife." Sometimes what I really want to say is, I wouldn't want to marry you. I wouldn't wish that on nobody. Be content the way you are. Live alone. Amen. That goes for you women too. Amen. Amen. And just because you're living in need doesn't mean that you can't be content. There's Christian ladies around this country, no husband, no income, older women having to live in government apartments, and they're happy in Jesus.
Amen.
Because see, they're not looking at your house, they're looking at their house. People make fun of mobile homes. If it wasn't for mobile homes in lower South Carolina, people would be living under a tree somewhere. It's builders and realtors that don't want mobile homes. Poor people love them. Amen. But look, boy, you look at this church. There you go. That's a good amen right there. We're going to teach that young say amen. But some snobs will ride by this church and say, look at that little old church over there. Well, I got news for them. They ought to come inside sometime. We got more than two or three of their churches put together, and I'm talking about spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They go over there to that mausoleum and sleep through a little sermonette so they can run out to the kitchenette and smoke them a cigarette because they ain't nothing but a Christianette anyway. Boy, that went over real good. A lot of people grow up needy, but they're content.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of us did. My wife kids said, don't start telling stories about your life. They're all sad. That's what they say. They say, don't start telling those stories. You just make people cry. They're sad. All your stories. I said, yeah, but look where I am now. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Did you know in verse 12 he says that living, he can live with or he can live without. Did you know that living in plenty does not guarantee you contentment? There's a lot of people not content. They got more than me and you and everybody we know could spend in a lifetime. Look at John chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1, if you will. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh, beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do, class, nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, there's a lot of people who have a lot of stuff who are still searching for contentment, when those of us who know what real contentment is, we don't ask for much. Amen. Because we know it doesn't take much. Amen. We're happy in Jesus. Amen. We're happy with our salvation. I'm not looking for another salvation. I'm not looking for another God. I'm not looking for another religion. And I kind of got perturbed this week. The Babylonian church, that Roman church, has taken over our government. You see them with the little backward collars at all the government meetings and even the funeral today. And God bless Brother Bush's family. I wish him well. But you say whatever you want to, but the Babylonian religion was all the way through that. It was a mess. What he should have got was that old-fashioned Methodist preacher he grew up under to get up there and preach. It would have cleared the house. Amen? But look, you don't have to be... Is it not funny how people, when they begin to accumulate things, that they change churches?
Yes.
And some of them will even change religions.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look sophisticated enough. You know. So we've got to move to the uptown church, you know. We got to go up there where they are. But a lot of people who have plenty are still searching for contentment. That's their problem. They're not abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ. So therefore, they are not happy. So they'll go from the Baptist to the Methodist, and the Methodist to the Presbyterian, and the Presbyterian to the Whiskey Pagan. Oh, I'm sorry, did I say that? And from the Whiskey Pagan to the Lutherans, and they'll go from that, they'll go to the Universalist Church, they'll go to the Catholic Church. It just goes on and on and on and on. Your dad, Ron, he could tell some of these folks stories about not being content in religious circles and going from one to another till he finally got born again.
Amen?
Amen. Now, once you get born again, you're content.
Yes, amen.
Like old Job, his wife said, why don't you cuss God and die? Look at the mess you in. He said, you sound like a foolish woman. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He said, I came in naked, I'll leave naked. Amen. N-E-K-K-E-D, if you're writing that down. He's writing it down over there. He writes a lot of stuff down. But look, just because a person is in high church does not make them a better Christian. So here's what the world thinks. There's levels of Christianity. Are you with me? And I used to think it when I was lost. The Catholic Church is the ultimate church. And by the way, they'll tell you the same thing. They'll tell you they're the mother church. They're not my mother church. But the Catholic Church, the world looks at them like they're the ultimate religion. They have the ceremonies. They have the pomp and circumstance. They have the decorations. They have the elaborate temples and tabernacles and statues. And they burn the candles and the incense. And they go, Domino, Domino. And it's high religion. But if it's so good, how come two-thirds of them don't even show up for the services? If it's so good, how come they don't even know the priest's name until they're about to die and they call for the last rites? If it's so good, how come these priests, the church is full of pedophiles? Yeah, I said that. Full of them. I'll tell you what, they're not happy, they're not content, they're not. Or they would go. They would participate. Now, poor Baptists, we ain't got much. We don't have much. I know there's some Baptists that have lots, you know, but usually they're dead as the cemetery behind them. But we don't have a whole lot down here. You know, we got God. Thank God for what we do have. Amen. We ain't over on John Street where Jeffrey was afraid to get out of the car the first time he came. Big as he was afraid to get out of the car the first time he came. His wife had to drag him in. Amen. She ain't had to do it since. Amen. but thank God. Hey, if tomorrow we had to meet up under that big tree out there, some kind of nuts on it, a chestnut tree. Who knows what I... But hey, if we meet under there, we'll sing and shout it out. Amen. We'll be happy with what we got. Young people, they need this. My mama, she didn't have any money. If she had any, she wasn't going to give it to me. My life goal as a 12-year-old was to get old enough to get me a job. You know why? So I could buy me a car and get driver's license and pay insurance. I mean, that's my life goal. And I've been working since I was about 14. And I ain't going to tell you how many cars I've tore up. But it didn't satisfy me. But our young people now, it's not that they're not satisfied because they don't have. It's satisfied because they do. They're not satisfied because they don't have. It's they do have and they're still not content. Amen. Take that iPad, iPhone, I this, I that, and put it in Romans chapter 7. Where the Apostle Paul talks about I a lot. But we'll take that stuff away from them. You ought not let your kid bring a phone to church, by the way. Who's going to call them? Hello? Who's calling your kid? We used to take them to camp. They didn't have, back then, dirt at the end ahead of things. But we wouldn't let them take junk like that. We didn't even let them take a radio. They could take a Bible, clothes, and wash rags. Preferably some soap and underwear and deodorant, yeah. But they didn't have no phone, they didn't have iPad, didn't have a computer, didn't have a radio, didn't have all that stuff. And did you know by the time we left at the end of the week, some of them would cry and they didn't want to leave? They had a better time, amen? Amen. Now, there's a lot of Baptists the same way. I better go on. I'm running out of time. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm so proud of me. It's 5 minutes till and I'm about to run out of paper. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know what the secret to contentment is? Knowing Jesus Christ and living for him. Yes. Living for him. A lot of people claim to know him, but they don't live for him. Amen? You can say you know him, but if you don't live for him, you're not going to be happy, because if you really do know him and you're not living for him, you're going to be in continual whippings, amen, chastisement. And then if you do know him and you're living for him, then what else are you living for? You're living for him, amen, that's it. I remember people used to deny themselves, and we'd try to tempt them with all kind of stuff, and they'd say, I'm not going to do that, I'm living for Jesus. And we'd look at them, we'd think, well, they can't be happy. I mean, these Baptists, they can't drink, they can't smoke, they can't chew, and they can't date girls that do. How can you be happy? You can't be happy like that. What we didn't know is they were content. Content, you don't have to be happy to be content. You can be sad and still be content. You can be rich and be content. You can be poor and be content. You can be going through trials and all kind of things. And Peter says right here, he says, I know you're going through trials, but the reason those trials and temptations, they are for the refining of your faith. That's what they're for, to burn away the dross, to burn away the bad things. And you're going to come out better, not bitter.
Amen.
People tell me they're saved and they're not content. I'll tell you, first sign they complain about everything at church. Yeah. Y'all sing them old songs. Y'all sing too long. Y'all don't sing long enough. You sing too quiet, so you sing too loud. The preacher preaches too long. They never say he preaches too short. I'm working on it 1 minute till I'm trying to quit. Listen. It's too hot in there. It's too cold in there. Jeffrey plays too fast. Those Yankees sing those songs too fast. We need to slow them down. Just a closer walk with you, precious Jesus. Instead he goes, just a closer walk with thee. He plays it right.
Yes.
But you don't know what's right, so let him do it, okay? Quit complaining. That woman brought a baby, disturbed the service. You'll thank God she brought her baby.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. They got dog hair all over my favorite seat from that stinking dog they got. Well, brush it off, sit down. Amen. See, your problem is you're not looking at him, you're looking at them.
Right.
Did you see that little girl in the choir? Did you hear that song leader? Did you know the preacher preached that whole sermon with his britches unzipped? Y'all remember that, don't you? Complain, 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 complain. If you ain't happy, you know what you're going to do? You're going to find something to be unhappier about. But if you're content, you'll say, thank God, old preacher got enough mind left. He zipped them up after church. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for that singing. Thank God for that choir. Thank God for that little old girl comes to church. Thank God for a song leader. Thank God for a Sunday school teacher. He may not be the most educated guy in town, but he knows his Bible. Amen. Amen. I don't want to quit, but I got to. Did you know nothing, no one, no experience, no possession will give you total contentment? This is a song that's not in this new hymn book. I looked it up. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. Is that it? He's the lily of the valley. I think that ain't that the name of his lily of the valley. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. You see, you ain't got to please me because you're not the one that saved me. I'm not looking to you. If you start looking, I'd have quit a long time ago. I was licensed in 1982, but I was preaching a year or two before that. I'd have quit way back before I ever got licensed if I was looking for people to make me content. By the way, God told Isaiah, said, don't look at their faces when you preach. But there's some faces in here, I can't help it. You look like you eat persimmons. Been sucking on lemon. It's hard not to look. Amen? It ain't you, Brother Dan. It's somebody else. But I found him. Did you find it? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. But you know what? That's where you got to get. You listening? That's where you got to get. Find it in Jesus. He will be everything. That's the possession or lack of it. That's the happiness or lack of it. That's the house or lack of it. That's the car or lack of it. That's the friend or lack of it. Husband or lack of it. Wife or lack of it. Whatever it might be. He is everything to me. Ladies, your husband never will completely make you content. There's a lot I can say about that. Husband, your wife will never completely give you contentment. And your children surely won't. Your preacher won't. Your pastor won't. I know I'm strange to some of y'all people from foreign places. But I put up with you. You put up with me, okay? I know I say funny things, but you ain't a prize yourself. I'm not trying to be content in you. Don't try to be content in me. Be content in the one I'm pointing you to. He's everything to me. I love you. You won't find a pastor in this county that loves his people more than I do. And I ain't bragging on me. I'm just telling you the truth. But you know, if you leave tomorrow, that ain't going to change my faith or my happiness. Now, I feel bad. Don't get me wrong. When people leave, I feel bad about it. You just don't know how a pastor feels when people leave. It hurts. Him and his wife. We worry. What do we do? How come we couldn't keep them? You know, things like that. But it's not going to change our contentment. We're content in the Lord. We may have a big, nice building here one day. Right out there, big night. But if we don't, I'm happy in Jesus. Amen. 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 Now, so today's Wednesday. Let's see if Thursday, Friday, and Saturday you can be content with what God's given you and come back Sunday rejoicing. Amen. For what He's done for you. Let's stand.